So my name's Johnny Cross. I work at the LA Gay and Lesbian Center in Los Angeles. I'm going to be talking about the program that we have for partner notification compared to the traditional approach. Quick overview. Background. We're going to give a background on partner notification, what it means, define the performance measures, highlight the success of the community embedded DIS program comparison with the regular partner notification program, and discuss how and where to expand the program. Some numbers. In 2008, 62% of the early syphilis cases in LA County were among men who have sex with men, or MSMs. And 14% of the early syphilis cases diagnosed out of LAGLC, or were diagnosed out of LAGLC. So that's about 1 in 7 people who were diagnosed with early syphilis in all of LA County were diagnosed at Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center. So that's a pretty big number when you look at every community-based organization, every primary care doctor diagnosing syphilis, 14% coming from the center. And of those, 55% were also infected with HIV. Some of the benefits of partner notification, you can notify partners confidentially. One thing we tell people is that we want to get everyone preventively treated or treated to stop the spread. And we're not about blaming, we're not about pointing fingers. The main thing is that we just want to make sure people are getting treated and we can prevent the spread of this. A lot of partners might not be aware of their risk. When I call partners, one of the first things many of them will tell me is, I tested recently, I don't have any symptoms, so I'm sure I'm fine. So this is a great opportunity to give them education and let them know. A lot of people don't notice symptoms or never had a symptom. So this is a really good time for education. Also, so we tell them, there's also incubation period. So if you did test negative, that's great, but you should come in again, test again, and we can give you preventative treatment here just in case. Earlier testing and counseling leads to prevention, and all of this has a potential to reduce the STI rates in the community. Some challenges, mistrust of the health department. I'll get into that a little in the next slide. Anonymous partners are a big challenge. A lot of the clientele that I deal with are having anonymous sex for exactly that reason, the anonymity of it. They're going to bathhouses, they're going to sex clubs, and they don't want a name, they don't want a phone number, so these people are really hard to reach. Negative effects on relationships. Some people are, you know, they're afraid they may have gone outside of their relationship and caught a disease, and they're afraid how it's gonna impact their relationship. So we try and work with them. We tell them we can't lie, we can't bend the rules, but we don't have to give their name. We can work with them to make sure we get this person, you know, treat it and test it. And also, I let them know that the original patient could get the infection again. So it's really important that, you know, we do get these people in, and we're gonna make it as easy as possible on them. Staffing is always an issue. California's in a huge budget crisis, as long as I think most of the nation is. And repeated infectors, these are a small amount of people who we see over and over again with the same infections, and the theory is that they're infecting a lot of people. This is a challenge. I believe there's some new programs that are hopefully going to be implemented. I don't know much about them, but I've just heard recently that some more proactive programs to try and reach these people. Some quick comparisons of the traditional approach. The way it normally works is LA County providers will submit the positive labs to the STD health department. Those will then be routed to public health investigators. The public health investigator will then contact the client either by phone call or a visit if they can't get a hold of them over the phone. And they'll talk to them about their infection and about notifying partners. The difference with the CEDIS program is I'm at the clinic. So if someone comes in with symptoms, I'll interview them right at that time. So I'm part of the clinic. They see a counselor, they see a doctor, they see the lab, they see me. So I'm viewed as part of the community and not someone knocking on your door 2 weeks after you've already forgotten about this and never want to think about it again. So I think that's one of the reasons why it works, is that people are viewing me part of the community and not as, the DAS system or the PHI system works, but this is a little more of a friendly approach. More of a peer of the community, and like I said, I'm in the clinic during their clinic hours. This was adapted after Howard Brown in Chicago. They had a DIS kind of program like this. So the thing that's unique about our program is I'm a health officer of the LA County Health Department, so we work very close together. Everything gets reported to the health department. QA, everything like that. I have a supervisor at the health department. All my numbers go to the health department, but I also work at the center, which also is a good, it's a good bridge between the two organizations to work together. These are some numbers to show the comparison of 2007 to 2009. I started the position in 2008, which is why we compared 2007 before there was a CEDIS, and 2009, I was there the whole year as a CEDIS. And you can see there was 149 syphilis cases in 2007, and in 2009, 188. So there was a rise. You know, the thinking is because we're getting partners in and identifying them sooner. So there's going to be some numbers to kind of explain what these numbers are going to mean. Time to interview is from the time of the lab to the interview. Usually within 7 days is when we want to try and get an interview. Partner index, ratio of the numbers of partners named divided by the cases interviewed, and the partners preventatively treated, ratio of numbers of partners preventatively treated divided by the cases interviewed. So this is pretty interesting. If you look in 2007, 149 versus in 2009, 188 total diseases. Of the people interviewed, 177 were 2009 and compared to 108 in 2007. This is where you see the big increase within 7 days interviews. 2007, there was five of them were interviewed within 7 days. In 2009, me being at the clinic, 115 were interviewed within 7 days. So that's a 20-fold increase with interviewing people within 7 days, which, you know, like I said, the thinking is the sooner we get them in, the sooner we can get them treated, and it's going to prevent more people from being infected. Also, being in the clinic and getting to people sooner has a lower loss to follow-up rate, so 4% versus 28%. Partners named, 2007, before there was CEDIS at LAGLC, there was 61 partners named. Compared to 2009, 340 partners were named. So that's a threefold increase, partner index of 0.56 to 1.91. And partners who were friendly treated and brought to treatment, again, 2007 to 2009, a fourfold increase in the index from 0.22 to 0.93. 2009, we saw an increase at LAGLC of 123% of early syphilis cases. There's a lot of reasons why we think this might have happened, but again, we're moving towards, we think it's because we're identifying sooner and getting people in and getting them treated. This is something I thought was really important to share. A lot of the partners we get in test negative for syphilis, but test positive for something else. And as you see, 49 of the 340 people we called in who were partners tested positive for gonorrhea, chlamydia, or both. And this is really important because if we didn't call them in, there's no way of knowing when or if they would have come in on their own to find this out, which could reduce HIV and other infections. This was last year. This is the Gay and Lesbian Center's newsletter. This was last March. They did a whole story about, you know, the CEDIS program, and it's changing social norms. People came in, over 50,000 people read this, which I didn't know until after it came out, because people were recognizing me, they had read it. It was really bizarre. But people came in and they'd come in my office and they already knew, as soon as I said, kind of gave a quick overview of what was gonna happen, they would say, oh, I read about this. And they were on board and ready to help, and it was huge. So I think changing the social norms, especially for the gay community, to say, like, this is in our community, this is something that we can help and we can fix. So that was pretty big. This is an actual case that I had last year. The reason why I wanted to show it is this person had primary syphilis. He gave all these names. The ones to the right were located refused, but the ones to the left were either preventatively treated or were identified as new syphilis cases. Some of them were HIV positive. The original patient told me he was HIV negative, but he refused to test for HIV at the time. So there's really no way of knowing, but a lot of his partners were positive. We did identify them as positive. Some previous and some new. The reason why I think this is really important, the bubble all the way down to the bottom right, the case was already closed when I saw this person, and he gave me these two names, which I was able to reopen the case and connect. And I think that's just really important. If you look, not one person named the original patient. So I thought that was really interesting that I am hoping it's because of this program, he felt comfortable to give all these names. And if it wasn't for him to do that, there's no way of saying if we could have gone from the bottom up. Internet success. In 2009, 67 early syphilis cases had at least one internet partner, 724 internet partners total. Of those 724, 117 internet partners were initiated. Of those 117, over half, 62, were we actually got in to come in and get examined. And I believe that's more than 62, because what happens is the health department has a Adam Fratum, which is the biggest website that I talk to where men are meeting men for sex. And I think it's over 62, because a lot of those guys will email back and say, thanks for the notification, I'll see my doctor. Or I have no symptoms, so I'm fine. And, you know, and I might not hear from them again, but I can see if they've opened the email. So we may not hear from them. Some call right away, but we might not hear from them, but maybe they're going in. So I believe it's more than 62. And the smartphones, like I was saying, sometimes I'll email someone on Adam for Adam, and I'll get a call within a minute. So I think the internet and it's the way of the future. And obviously it's how a lot of the community is meeting other men. So I'm glad that we're using the technology. Some of the benefits I've already spoke about, 25-fold improvement, an interview within 7 days, and a 4-fold decrease in loss to follow-ups. 50% increase in the partner index and 4-fold improvement in the partners preemptively treated. All of this reduces the burden of cases to the STD program. As I said, about 14 or 15% of the cases of early syphilis are being diagnosed out of LAGLC. So that's 15% less cases that the health department has to follow up on. Some additional benefits, record searches within 1 day, a buy-in from the CBO and staff and community. The fact that I'm kind of working for both places, I'm employed by the Gay and Lesbian Center, but trained and work with the health department. I'm able to, if someone calls me from the health department, needs a record search, we have electronic records, I can get back to them within a day, which I don't know if many of you know. Usually this can be a process that can take weeks sometimes to get someone's information out of a chart. So our communication is really clear and it's working very well. The bridge is definitely, we have a great communication with each other. And I remember, I've been working at the center for almost 8 years, and I remember at a time where even we were skeptical of the health department. So the fact that now we have this bridge between us and we're working together, I think is great. We incorporated partner notification from the internet. We've extended this to HIV cases now. I'm interviewing PCR and NAT positives because they are, as we know, very likely to spread the disease. So we've started doing that, and we're actually going to be hiring a second person because 15% is a lot. So we're going to be hiring a second person to be helping, and we're hoping to get more of these HIV cases with the second person. So if anyone's looking for a job, we're going to start interviewing soon. A quick summary. Notification is by an employee of the trusted CBO, like I was saying with that Vanguard article. So that's great. Reducing the time of interview and the index case loss to follow up. And I think some of these things I spoke about, I see that my time is running. And reducing the cases to STD program. So thank you. My email's on here if you have any questions. Do I have time for questions? Time for one question. And then I have to go straight to the airport, so email me if you have any questions.